Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin man accused of murder has been found in New Mexico after driving away from a halfway house in Toma last week. Shane Helmbrecht was found near Santa Fe and released to the Eau Claire County Sheriff's Department. Helmbrecht was arrested in 2016 for the murder of his neighbor in Eau Claire, but he was found incompetent to stand trial. He was staying at a halfway house in Toma when authorities say Helmbrecht took his parents' car and fled. In Wisconsin, you need a witness in order to fill out an absentee ballot. A liberal law firm is challenging that law. Nate Wegehout has more.
The Elias Law Group filed the lawsuit in federal court on Monday. They say the requirement to have a witness sign absentee ballot envelopes violates the Federal Voting Rights Act. The law firm says that requiring absentee voters to have a witness attest to their qualifications to vote violates that law. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of four Wisconsin voters who find it difficult to get a witness due to health risks, living alone, or traveling overseas. The lawsuit names the State Elections Commission and multiple city clerks from across the state as defendants. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Fraud prevention experts are getting the word out about avoiding scams. Kathy McDougall with the AARP says if you get a suspicious phone call, don't engage with the person on the other end.
It's better to be rude and hang up than be robbed from them. Don't respond to suspicious emails from people that you did not initiate contact.
McDougall says if you are scammed, it's important to report it to police within 2 days. Cell phones, radios, and TVs will be buzzing tomorrow afternoon for a nationwide test of the Federal Emergency Alert System and wireless emergency alerts. Mike Moen explains.
Jared Tessman, the Emergency Management Coordinator in Monroe County, says the alert rollout will begin at 1:20 p.m. Central Time on October 4th. The purpose is to get people thinking about what would happen in a national emergency. But there's local significance, too.
We can send the same tests out at a local level to notify people of evacuations that are necessary due to various types of disasters, hazardous materials incidents.
When these tests are conducted, he says it's important for people to have their phones on so they can confirm their device can receive such a message in a real emergency. I'm Mike Moen.
Some Wisconsin dairy farms are using Fitbits to track their cows' eating, breathing, and other important information. They're often worn as collars, and they help farmers keep their dairy cows healthier and more productive. Wisconsin is the leading cheese-making state in America and the second biggest state for producing fluid milk. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Three suspects in a string of robberies across Wisconsin are in custody. The alleged thieves are Alan Ritchie, Brandon Riley, and Jade Sprang, all from Nina. Manitowoc police say on September 24th, the suspects narrowly escaped authorities during a robbery at the Walmart at 4115 East Calumet, where they stole over $2,000 worth of stuff. After the escape, Manitowoc PD partnered with Nina Police and the U.S. Marshals. Marshals arrested the trio on September 28th. Authorities believe the three might be part of a bigger organized crime outfit. The body pulled from the Menasha Channel on Sunday has been identified. Carolyn Leonard was 36 and from the Wisconsin Dells. She was pulled from the water between the Racine and Taco Street bridges on Sunday around 5 p.m. by the Winnebago County Sheriff's Department. The investigation is in progress. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Brewers lose one of their top pitchers. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers begin their playoff series tonight against the Diamondbacks, but they won't have starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff. Manager Craig Counsell making the announcement.
Brandon Woodruff will be out for this series. He has a right shoulder capsular injury. We're working on a second opinion and for Brandon to see over the next couple days. Frankly, his availability for the postseason is up in the air at this point.
It's the same injury that kept Woodruff on the IL the first 4 months of the season. The 30-year-old right-hander asked how he's doing.
Not good. When you deal with an injury and then it pops back up, it popped up at the wrong time. But also maybe it's a blessing because I can, have it taken care of. So it sucked, man. we got a good clubhouse, and I want to be a part of that. And you know, sitting here now, I may not. So that's the hard part.
So it's game one of the best of three game series tonight at AmFam Field. First pitch at 6:08. Corbin Burnes gets the start tonight and talked about facing Arizona.
They've been really, really good all year. They're really hot early on, but you know, it's all about who goes out and plays the best baseball. And I think the way we've been playing baseball the last month and a half, it doesn't matter who we're playing, what their record is. I think if we go out there and play the baseball we've been playing, we'll be in a good spot.
Elsewhere in baseball, another manager fired. The Angels will not bring back Phil Nevin after 1.5 seasons. The Giants fired Gabe Kapler. The Mets let go Buck Showalter. NBA, the Bucks training camp begins today. The team introduced point guard Damian Lillard, who talked about getting the phone call that informed him he'd been traded to the Bucks.
Just kind of sitting there in my man cave, I didn't really know what was going to happen. I started to think like, man, it might get to training camp and I might just be sitting and waiting, you know. And then I got that call from my agent. It was like, man, you're getting traded to Milwaukee.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Were you out and about in that 86 degrees yesterday?
I didn't. It was a little unexpectedly hot for me.
Oh, you were out?
No, I wasn't. I stayed in the house and watched some TV.
With 86 degrees, you stayed in the house?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you.
Okay, so what about today, man? It's going to be 85 again.
Yeah, I'll probably take the dog out and play some fetch.
Man, I was out, man. And I'm going to be out today. I'm going to be out tomorrow. And I'm going to be out Friday because what comes after is 56 degrees. Man, you got to we're counting them down. But anyway, got a lot to talk about today. You know, sometimes I get really frustrated when I hear people, you know, come on the air and throw around, you know, statistics and constantly talk about, you know, the budget and what we owe. And, you know, every one of our children owe $100,000. And so I got to, and then the fact that we get to a point where there's this celebratory response to the Democrats and the Republicans both coming up with a 45-day stopgap. And so people are celebrating. Well, here's the reality of it. And we're going to go through where we are with this budget, where the $31 trillion deficit came from, who's responsible, what percentage of that deficit Democrats created, what percentage of it Republicans created, what the budget actually is, what non-discretionary spending, what percentage of that is, you know, can be cut, military, all of it. We're going to spend the entire show talking about the budget, how it came to be, and why, unless taxes are raised on the wealthy, it'll never be fixed. That's what we're going to discuss this morning. Let's begin here. So Calvin, last year, you know, the budget was $6.1 trillion. We raised $5 trillion in taxes. So there's this $1.1 trillion structural a deficit in 2022. You only took in $5 trillion, but the outlays were $6.1 trillion. Now, let's get into where this real budget deficit actually came into existence. Would anybody believe, well, whether you believe it or not, here are the facts. In 1974 to 19, wait, let me get it right here. Let me get it right. Why is, okay. Anyway, the budget deficit in 1963 to 1969, Let's go here. From George Washington, Calvin, all the way to George Bush Jr., up till George Bush Jr., the budget deficit was $5.71 trillion. That's all the presidents from George Washington all the way up to George W. Bush. All that was $5.71 trillion. That was our deficit. George Bush Jr., then raised the deficit in his two terms. He doubled the deficit. It went from 5.71 trillion to 10.71 trillion. So in two terms, George Bush Jr. doubled the deficit. The national debt. He doubled it. It was 5.71 trillion when he came in. When he left, it was 10.71 trillion. Barack Obama comes into office following George Bush Jr. And in two terms, he raised that deficit 9.3 trillion. He just about doubled it. Now, we're going to talk about why, what took place in those years afterwards, why there was a reason that those expenditures exploded. Two terms. In comes President Trump. One term, $7.8 trillion. He raises the debt, the deficit. The debt, the national debt. And then we've got President Joe Biden. He's yet to get in a full year and a full term, and he's raised it 4.6 trillion. So the last four presidents combined have raised the national debt $25 trillion of the $31 trillion that we owe. The last five presidents have raised that debt from $5 trillion to $31 trillion. Now, what is the breakdown? And why? So Jimmy Carter, when he was president of the United States, let's go to Ronald Reagan. See his first. Ronald Reagan raised the debt. He was the first president to raise the debt over $1 trillion. He raised the debt 186%. George Bush Sr. raised the debt 54%. George Bush Jr. raised the debt 105%. Donald Trump raised the debt 40%. In total, Reagan, Bush Jr., Bush Sr., Donald Trump raised the debt $17 trillion. those four Republican presidents raised the debt $17 trillion. Democrats, President Obama raised the debt $8 billion in two terms, a 69% increase. President Biden, the present president, raised the debt $4 trillion and counting. He only raised it 8.79%. No matter what these other people say, these are the numbers. Check it out. Bill Clinton raised it $1.5 trillion, 31% increase, and Jimmy Carter raised it $300 billion, an $11 trillion increase total. $17 trillion is what the Republicans have raised the debt. $11 trillion is what, when Democrats were president, have raised the debt. We keep having people call here and say that the Democrats have raised the debt. They're the ones who have created this debt. Look it up. It's not true. And so when we're looking at a $31 trillion debt, we know that $17 trillion of those dollars have been raised by Republicans. And $11 trillion, again, have been raised by Democrats. Now, let me go here, because we can talk about the exact numbers. Under Joe Biden, debt changed 8.79%, $2.5 trillion is what he has raised the debt. When he came in, Donald Trump left with a debt of $28 trillion, or the United States debt was $28.4 trillion. And now it's over $30 trillion. So Biden, $2.5 trillion. When Barack Obama left, it was $20.25 trillion. And Donald Trump raised it to $28 trillion, and it jumped up to $28.425 trillion. Let's do this. Let's go to a break. When we come back, it's a lot of numbers. You can check it out yourself. But at the root of it, we're going to get to why we can never balance this budget unless they're willing to raise the taxes on the wealthiest amongst us. You can talk about cutting all these other programs. We're going to cover each program, and you'll see that the only way to fix this is by raising the taxes on the wealthy. Got to go to a break. 844-967. You know, not the Calvin wealthy guys, but the really wealthy people. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies today with daytime highs approaching 85. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 68 tonight. Overcast skies. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 76. Mainly sunny skies and calm Thursday with daytime highs approaching 70. 57. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 57.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Hey.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm trying to point out, you know, where the deficit, the national debt, the origin of it, and how it has really taken off under the last four presidents of the United States. Let me try it this way. Let's go back from 1933 to 1945. The national debt was $22 billion. And then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he left office, when he came in, it was $22 billion. When he left office, it was $258 billion, an increase of 104%. Harry Truman, 1945 to 1953, he inherited a $258 billion deficit. When he left, it was $266 billion, an increase of only 2.86%. Followed by Dwight Eisenhower, 1953 to 1961, he inherited a $266 billion debt. When he left, it was $288 billion. A 8.6 increase. Then came John F. Kennedy, 1961 to 1963. He inherited a $280 billion deficit. When he left, it was $305 billion, a 5.4% increase. When Lyndon Johnson came into office in 1963 to 1969, he inherited a $305 billion deficit. And he increased it to $353 billion, a 15.6 increase. When Richard Nixon came into office, 1969 and 1974, $353 billion was what he inherited it jumped to $475 billion, a 34% increase. Gerald Ford then came 1974 to 1977. He inherited a $475 billion debt. He raised it 47% to $698 billion. Followed by Jimmy Carter, 1971 to 1981. $698 billion was the debt that he inherited when he left. It was $997 billion, a 42% increase. But here's where it really got off the rails. And very few people ever talk about it. They claim that Ronald Reagan was the greatest president in our history. But when Ronald Reagan came into office, America went from the largest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation under Ronald Reagan. So from 1981 to 1989, Reagan came in with a $997 billion deficit. He raised it to $2,857 billion, and 186% increase, the largest increase of debt than any president of the United States and combined at that time. 186% increase. Ronald Reagan started us down the path of these tremendous debts that we owe. He was followed by George Bush Sr., 1989 to 1993. He inherited a $2.8 trillion debt. He increased it 54% to $4.411 trillion. He was followed by then Bill Clinton, 1993 to 2001. Clinton inherited a $4.4 trillion deficit. He increased it 31% to $5.8 trillion. Followed by George Bush Jr., who inherited a $5.8 trillion deficit. He increased it to almost $12 trillion, $11,990 billion, 105% increase, a trillion dollar increase is what George Bush Jr. added. Followed by Barack Obama, 2009 to 2017, he inherited almost $12 trillion debt. When he left, it was $20 trillion. He increased it by 69% or $8 trillion in two terms. Then he was followed by Donald Trump, who came in 2017 to 2021. Donald Trump inherited a $20 trillion debt. He increased it to $28 trillion, a 40% increase in one term. $8 trillion is what Donald Trump cost the debt in one term. And then we up to President Biden, who in his short time has increased it, you know, $4 trillion. So look at the numbers. We've got to go to a break, 844-967-2789, and we'll hash all this out. We'll be right back.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz offering a motion to vacate the Speaker's chair. It's a move not seen in more than 100 years and sets up a showdown between House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Gaetz.
All of this comes after House Speaker Kevin McCarthy made a deal with Democrats, working with them and moderate Republicans to keep the government open and funded. He tried again and again to try to satisfy the far right wing of his conference. It was never enough. So frustrations boiling over here on Capitol Hill. Congressman Matt Gaetz finally made making good on those threats, moving forward with this effort to try to oust him.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar carjacked at gunpoint. He says a group of men held guns to his head and took his car and phone near his Washington, D.C. Navy Yard residence, blocks from the U.S. Capitol. Donald Trump back in court as a civil fraud trial against him and his family continues. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Fond du Lac police say a 79-year-old woman has been found and is safe. Yesterday afternoon, authorities issued a silver alert for Pamela A. Freund, who is in the early stages of dementia. Green Bay police are asking for the public's help in locating a dog that bit a child. Police say the unprovoked attack happened around 2:15 p.m. last Thursday. Witnesses say an elderly woman was walking two dogs near the intersection of Shawano Avenue and Gray Street. One of the dogs attacked the child. They described the dog owner as about 5'3 and on the heavy side, Caucasian, with gray medium-length hair, which was in a bun. She was wearing a pink peach flowery blouse and darkish pants. The dog that bit the child has been described as large with short tan fur, possibly a Labrador Retriever. If you have helpful information, please contact the Green Bay Police Department. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
At Forever Your Insurance in Manitowoc, we know that when someone has breast cancer, everyone they love has it too. Catching and treating breast cancer early could guarantee you'll survive. That's why it's so important to get your annual screening. Your family needs you, so make the time and schedule yours today. Forever Your Insurance in Manitowoc is supporting the fighters, admiring the survivors, and honoring the taken, urging women to learn the warning signs of breast cancer for yourself and your family.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Listen, we're talking about the federal debt and where it came from and what needs to happen to fix it. I don't care what people are saying. The truth of the matter is it will never be fixed unless more revenue is raised. Because, again, as I stated earlier, the budget, $6.1 trillion last year, and the revenue that was taken in was $5 trillion. There's a structural deficit in the budget every year. We talked about the last 30 minutes or so, where it came from, who was responsible for it. Now we need to find out the federal spending outlays. Where does the money go? Because when we're hearing people talk about cut this, cut that, cut these programs, cut those programs, let's look at where the money goes. 8% of the budget goes towards interest on the debt. That $31 trillion that we owe, 8% of the budget goes towards paying that off. 12% goes towards defense spending. 14% goes towards what they call non-discretionary spending. We're going to get into what non-discretionary spending is. 19% of the budget is Social Security. 25% of that budget is health care. Another 9% is income security. We'll go over what that is as well. Another 13% is other. And then there's 0.6% of it is going towards Ukraine. Now, what is non-discretionary spending comprised of? Healthcare and health research, these are part of non-discretionary spending. In 2019, it constituted 23% of the 14% of non-discretionary spending. And that was $150 billion. In 2019, these programs support health research and the provision of healthcare services, but not to include Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act subsidies, which are mandatory programs. Again, Social Security, these healthcare, those are mandatory spending, military. Those things, you can, for the most part, it's almost impossible to touch. Transportation. For those who want to see cuts. Transportation economic development makes up another 19% of that 14% of non-discretionary spending. $125 billion in 2019 of that 14% of non-discretionary spending, which is what we're talking about when people talk about cuts. Most of this spending goes to air, ground, and water transportation programs such as the National Highway System, air traffic control, and aviation safety. The Coast Guard and transportation security. The rest goes to a variety of community development activities, disaster insurance, prevention, and relief and agriculture programs. Number three, in the 14% of non-discretionary spending, education and training. Education and training programs constitute 14%, again, of that 14% of non-discretionary spending every year. That comprises $95 billion in of the spending of non-discretionary money in 2019. The bulk of the spending in this category goes to K through 12 and vocational education, 43% primary to aid school districts in educating students with disabilities and low-income students and higher educational programs, 29% including Pell Grants, which help about 7 million students from low and moderate income households afford college. Less than 1/6 of the spending in this category supports programs that provide pre-kindergarten education and other services for children and families, seniors and people with disabilities. This includes Head Start and early childhood education programs that helps about 900,000 disadvantaged children prepare for school. An additional tent supports programs that provide employment and other labor services, including those for veterans, education, training, and rehabilitation. The rest goes to public education and cultural programs that support public broadcasting, as well as public libraries and museums. Let's not, these are a lot of numbers, but let's not forget that these numbers that we're talking about right now are the non-discretionary spending that Republicans want cut out of the budget. These are the things that they're saying we can't afford. Let's go next to economic security. Again, non-discretionary spending, which makes up 14% of the overall budget. Economic security programs constitute 13%, $87 billion of the non-discretionary spending in 2019. Programs in this category primarily help households meet basic needs such as housing, energy, child care, and food costs. This is really where Republicans want to cut. Now, again, it makes up a tiny fraction of the overall budget and the debt that they keep harping on. Housing assistance accounts for more than half of the spending in this category. So half of the 13% or half of $87 billion, $43.5 billion, is in this area. It's for housing assistance for more than half of this spending category, including vouchers and other rental assistance for low-income households, aid for the homeless, and assisted housing for elderly and special needs population. This is where they want to cut. The spending category also covers food and nutritional programs such as WIC, special supplement nutrition programs for women, infants, and children, which provides food assistance to over 6 million low-income mothers and children, and other forms of assistance to low- and moderate-income people, such as low-income home energy assistance programs and child care and development block grant. It also covers Social Security administrative costs. This is such a small percentage of the overall budget. And even if they were able to cut these programs, it would not change the debt problem whatsoever. But because you don't know what these programs are and the percentage of the budget that goes towards these programs, the Republicans can continue to run around and tell these lies about what needs to be cut. Now, number five, law enforcement and governance. Again, we're talking about the 14% of the budget non-discretionary spending. Number five, law enforcement and governance constituted 12%, $76 billion of non-discretionary spending in 2019. About three quarters of this category goes for law enforcement, criminal justice, and correctional activities, such as the FBI, the Border Patrol, and assistance to states and localities. Wait a minute, Calvin. I got to go back. I think there's a misprint here. Okay. This is the area they want to cut, right? Border Patrol and assistance to states and localities for prevention and prosecution of domestic violence and reduction of drug trafficking. The rest funds the Internal Revenue Services, Congress, federal courts, the Government Accountability Office, and other basic governmental operations. Let me repeat that. About a third quarters of this category goes for law enforcement, criminal justice, and correctional activities such as the FBI, Border Patrol, and assistance to states and localities for prevention and prosecution of domestic violence and reduction of drug trafficking. All things that Republicans want to see happen. But they are not aware that the area that they want cut encompasses those programs. Let's go to number six. Again, non-discretionary spending makes up 14% of the budget. Number six is science, environment, and energy. science, environment, and energy programs constitute 11%, $75 billion of the non-discretionary spending in 2019. About 4/10 of the spending in this category supports conservation and the management of natural resources such as national parks and other environmental programs, including those in the Environmental Protection Agency. Again, 0.4%. 1/4 of the spending covers NASA space exploration and related scientific research. The remaining spending supports the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, and clean water infrastructure. You want to cut that? Well, you know, this is what Republicans say. I don't think they know what's in these programs, and that's why I'm taking the time out to go through them to see if any of them who call here constantly talking about we need to cut the budget will even open their mouths to address this issue. Diplomacy and international affairs. Diplomacy and international affairs constitute 8%, $52 billion of the non-discretionary spending in 2019. Half of the spending in this category goes to international development and humanitarian assistance. This subcategory includes disaster assistance, the Peace Corps, the global HIV and AIDS initiatives, and the contributions to international agencies such as the World Health Organization. The remaining spending supports international security activities and programs such as peacekeeping operations and efforts to prevent the proliferation of nuclear weapons and maintenance and protection of U.S. embassies and consulates. Non-discretionary spending as share of economy is historically low. Traditionally, annual funding for both defense and non-defense discretionary programs is provided through 12 appropriation bills covering various parts of the government. In contrast, spending on mandatory or entitlement programs such as Social Security and Medicare is determined by formulas set in authorizing law and generally occur without annual action by Congress. So since 2010, non-discretionary spending has been declining, which is what Sandy talks about all the time, as a share of the economy, and in 2019 reached a record low of 3.1% of the gross domestic product. Let me repeat that. Because for all of these people who keep talking about cut these programs, it only makes up 3% of the gross domestic product, with official data going back to 1962, going forward, COVID-19 and the necessary responses will cause a temporary increase in 2021. That's where we are now. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Entertain your calls on the other side. We'll be right back.
In search of you, many lies has brought you to recognize. Is your life now in review?
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely.
Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I just,
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or Cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 85. Southerly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 68 tonight, cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms, high of 76. Mainly sunny skies and calm Thursday, with daytime highs approaching 70. 57, chance for scattered rain showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 58.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You're just joining us. I just spent, you know, the last 45 minutes talking about the origin of our national debt, where it came from, and then broke down where the spending goes. And these statistics are from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization and policy institute that conducts research and analysis on a range of governmental policies and programs. So it's not Earl Ingram. That's who put these statistics out. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ.
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. You know, my dad taught me two things. He said, you know, it's hard to argue with Santa Claus, and liars figure, but figures don't lie.
Okay, CJ, well, here are the figures that don't lie. Under Donald Trump, in 1 year, he increased the national debt $8 trillion. Under George Bush Jr., 2 years, he increased the national debt $6 trillion. And under George Bush Sr., $1.5 trillion, and Ronald Reagan, $1.9 trillion, for a total of $17 trillion in those four presidencies. And on the other side of it, the Democrats, President Barack Obama, $8.1 trillion in two terms. President Biden, $4 trillion and counting in one term. Bill Clinton, $1.5 trillion in two terms. And Jimmy Carter, $300 billion in one term. Those figures don't lie. $11 trillion is what those Democrats raised the national debt, and the Republicans raised it $17 trillion. Those numbers don't lie. Now go ahead.
Well, first, the president gets the credit or the blame, but the Congress holds the purse strings. And the mere fact that
Well, if that's the case, how do you, why do you continue to blame? If that's the case, then why do you continue to say Joe Biden is the person who's raised, who's created this debt?
The Congress was just taken over by the Republicans, correct? So they're the ones that are making this an issue. And
what are you talking about?
We're running.
The Republicans, the Democrats.
Who got elected to Congress in the midterms,
CJ, the Democrats haven't controlled the Congress under Donald Trump, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Ronald Reagan, Obama, Biden, Clinton, and Carter. Republicans have also had their hands in that. They controlled the Congress in different terms for those presidents. Is it safe to say that? Yes.
You're arguing about a misnomer.
There's not a misnomer. There's no misnomer.
Bill Clinton ended with a surplus due to the Congress of Newt Gingrich.
CJ.
They controlled Congress.
Hey, CJ, address the fact that you want to talk about Joe Biden and the debt that he's raised, and you won't talk about the $8 trillion, or let's go just the $14 trillion that George Bush Jr. and Donald Trump, two presidents, added to the deficit, the debt.
What happened during Donald Trump's presidency? COVID, shutdown of the government. We were humming along.
Hey
right
CJ,
now we're running out.
What happened? What happened during President Clinton? Obama, when he came into office, the nation was almost at one of the lowest ebbs historically, and when he came in, he's the guy who turned it around. You fail to understand.
CJ,
look at what the Dow Jones was at when Barack Obama came into office. It was 6,500 and falling. When he left, it was 18,000. So who did that? So when Trump came in, he took over an economy.
Remember when
he took over an economy that was where the Dow Jones was humming at the highest rate it had ever been. How did it go from 6.5 to 18,000 in Barack Obama's years? Who gets credit for that?
I guess Obama does, but
okay.
Also our debt percentage compared to gross.
Listen. I got to go to a break, man. We'll be right back.
Scholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm John.